see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day.
Good afternoon, everyone. Dave Laskowski here with Choices Along the Way.
Greetings from beautiful downtown North Kansas City, where we're at 35 degrees, and hopefully we're going to go upwards.
Well, we appreciate everybody's patience today. We've had some technical difficulties, something probably with a comet or a meteor or the sun or some kind of bad mojo coming out of Detroit. We're not really sure, but finally we've got our first show on the air. Our first show is really geared to helping all of us make sound choices, and that's what we want to present to you every other week. All your viable options, your workable choices. Choices that you can make, choices that others have made, and choices that we've made along the way concerning our health, our wealth, and pursuit of happiness.
Our shows are going to be very diversified. For nearly 25 years, I've been a gravity flow colon therapist. And believe me, I've basically heard everything that can be heard on the table. So we've taken all those concerns, all those questions, we have researched them, and we have found experts to help us answer all your questions.
If you want information on detoxing, we're going to be having Karen Kipp scheduled for the 18th of December. If you're in numbers and like numerology, our resident expert from the greater Detroit area is John Ashbrook. He's going to be with us on January 1st to give us some insights on 2011. If money's your concern, we have a financial expert, Marcus Robinson from Las Vegas. That's kind of a oxymoron, financial expert from Las Vegas. Yes, no, it's going to have nothing to do with cards or dice. He's going to be headlining our show on January 15th, where you can ask your questions, because we've been told Marcus has all the answers.
We're going to dedicate shows to Lyme's disease, fibromyalgia, stress, colon problems, just about anything you can think of. We're going to delve into things that help create stress within everyone's lives, divorce, children, anything. From acupuncture to zookeeping, we've got it lined up for you.
I, along with my wife, Linda, have owned and operated Viable Options for many, many years, and we've been in North Kansas City here for about 7 years, with the bulk of our business having been in the Michigan area, greater Detroit area. I'm a trained Chinese medicinal herbalist with a lot of basic training in Western herbology, homeopathy, flower essences. Together with my wife, Linda, we have probably close to 50 years of combined experience in alternative health and healing.
And we are just about ready to introduce our first guest, and we're going to make him a household name, because even though you can't see him, he looks just like the identical twin to Martin Mull. We looked him up yesterday. So you're bound to recognize his dulcet tones, and even though you don't actually know his name, how after the show, you will. You'll be running through the house like I do going, "It's Gary, it's Gary."
So hopefully, Seth, you can cue up that MP3 that Gary had sent us. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about Gary. He spent over 30 years in broadcasting. He brings the sound of experience to everything he reads. Gary has worked for the Big Three, ABC, NBC, and CBS. He's been a reporter on NPR, All Things Considered, and The Morning Edition. He's written and narrated an award-winning documentary, The Glory Days of New York Baseball. And for 3 years, he hosted a musical history, a weekly musical history series for Rolling Stone magazine in worldwide syndication, The Continuous History of Rock and Roll. These days, he does commercial voiceovers and narration from his home studio via the magic of ISDN. Gary and I went to high school together. That's way back when. Back in 1969, we graduated from Osborne High School there in Detroit, Michigan. Gary was born and raised in Detroit. He's brought all of his smooth Midwest tunes to children's books on tape, taught radio theater in elementary school, and has generally stuck his nose into every opportunity that has come along the way. He's a closet scientist, a technology nut, fledgling woodworker, and a wine aficionado. His far-ranging interests lend a natural air of understanding to an incredibly wide range of material. So, Seth, if we can play that MP3 that Gary sent us, let's see if our listeners recognize that voice.
Something big is happening on your birthday.
It's the time of your life.
The magic begins when you realize you can afford to celebrate your special moments at the Disneyland Resort. When you think about it, there's so much in life worth celebrating. Because this year, we're inviting you to join us at one of our parks on your birthday, absolutely free. Come celebrate Halloween time at the Disneyland Resort.
Come on, you'll miss all the fun.
The place where dreams come true. Holiday magic unfolds everywhere around our world. Come celebrate at the place where dreams come true. Walt Disney World.
Wow.
It's Gary. It's Gary.
Wow. sounds like our house whenever we hear one of those commercials on the TV sets, we come running out going, I know that guy. I know that voice. Do we have
Your
Gary Bridges on the line here?
Hi, Gary. How's everything in Kansas?
Gary.
I'm not in Kansas anymore, am I?
No, nice.
Trust me, you would know if you were in Kansas.
No. This is Missouri, or misery, as some folks call it. How are you today?
Right across the river, but a mile away. Yeah, I'm terrific. It's so nice that you asked, and it's sort of fun to listen back and think, cripe, how many years ago was that? And don't you dare say how many.
Honest to goodness, I was looking at our high school yearbook at both of us. Trying to figure out who on earth those two guys were.
Well, we didn't know in those days, so how could anyone else?
That's true.
You look so different today. You don't have the long hair and, you know, the hippie look anymore.
Although you can revert to that anytime you choose, I suppose.
If my hair would just grow again, that would be a fine thing.
That's true. Well, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on with our first show is to talk about the power of the spoken word. It's absolutely amazing to me when I thought about it, hearing your voice and hearing it on the television and then listening to folks like,
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones and
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. And who was that other fellow that we were talking about? Orson Welles, even his voice. And Ed McMahon and all the different voices. The guy that does all the cartoons.
Mel Blanc.
You know, all the different voices that we've all grown up with over the last, 50, 60 years. You know, you're part of quite an elite group. How on earth did you ever decide to get involved with doing voiceovers and what you do for a living now?
Well, mostly a lack of tangible skills, really. just found myself, like so many people, unemployed and virtually unemployable. I had had enough of the radio business where I started. I was a kind of a teenage prodigy DJ and worked my way up slowly through the ranks, through the markets, went from Detroit, where we grew up, to St. Louis and Miami and Minneapolis and out here. I worked 9 years in New York. And, you can only do that for so long.
Yeah.
You've seen the stories about the proverbial 50-year-old teenage DJ. Well, yeah. I didn't want to be that. I knew too many of them. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I left school to do that business and really didn't have another direction to take things. And I was blessed with, a voice on one hand, but maybe some understanding of that business on the other. I think most people don't really know what voice work is all about. So.
Yeah. Well, it's a very unique career path, to say the least. And when you realize that, I mean, television, cable, radio, the internet is absolutely covered drowning in powerful voices that are just blaring in our ears around the clock 24/7. And I guess I was kind of curious, is everything script written for you, or do they occasionally give you an idea and let you run with it? Or exactly, you know, how long does it take to put something together? Like that, like the Disney promo. I mean, is that, you know, obviously it probably takes more than 10 minutes, but...
And it's probably not a one-shot deal. You probably have to do it over and over and over, and do you cough
well,
and sneeze and forget your lines and all that?
Yep. With those, they actually did take quite a while, but more because the producers knew exactly what they wanted to have. It kind of goes both directions. It's very rare to be given a job for which there is no script, to be told to ad-lib something. Occasionally, in the interplay with another actor, something may come out that the producer says, ooh, that's kind of nice. Why don't we go with that? Let's see what we can make of it. But really, at the level of the business that I'm working now, you walk in and everything is absolutely laid out for you. And it's your skill, I guess. It's what I bring to the session, making it come alive, making it believable, making it not just a voice blaring in your ear, but making it a message that is received by the listener, as opposed to the ones that you immediately reach for the remote and turn the sound down.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
And you know there are plenty of them out there.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It must be... For example, when you did like something like the Disney, are you watching the commercial at the same time when you're doing the vocals?
Very often. Sometimes it's necessary for me to kind of fit myself in between the action. And in fact, sometimes with the Disney stuff particularly, they were careful to show it to me up front and then let me read against it a time or two so I could sort of see myself weaving in and out. And then once we got the timings very close, then we would go back and do kind of what Linda was talking about, where you'll go back and you'll do key lines a few different ways, a few different times. Maybe bring your voice up on the end, or maybe bring it down, or soften it, or make it you know, a little more in the ear, as we say, a little sweeter, or a little louder, whatever the producer hears. Some of those sessions, we went into 70, 80 takes of various things before they were convinced that they had not only what they wanted to hear, but every other option that their co-producers might want to hear when they're all sitting in the video house the next day and matching things up. You know, well, okay, what if it's a little too long? Okay, let's get a couple that are shorter and sound like this. Let's get a couple that are shorter and sound a little louder. You know, we did spend hours on those original Disney commercials probably 10 different sessions to get them all recorded.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get any hankering to go back to being a reporter, like for NPR and All Things Considered and the Morning Edition?
You know, I love that business. If I had it to do again, if I knew coming out of school what I know now, that is absolutely what I want to be, because I think that there's so little real good reporting on radio and TV. It's all been taken away by opinion. Everybody's expressing opinion as though it's fact, and I think what the world needs is a greater appreciation for what a real reporter does, reporting the facts, you know, finding the story behind what he's told, and then bringing that to the public so that people can make up their own minds.
You know, I think there's been a lot of great success. We spend, at least I do, because Lynn's usually sleeping. But I do like Coast to Coast. And if George Norrie's got or Art Bell or one of those folks have got a good guest on, and they'll go for 2 or 3 hours, or even NPR, which obviously is here in the Kansas City area, and it's on FM and it's nice and quiet. They'll go on there for quite a while, sometimes 15, 20 minutes of some really good investigatory.
And I'm not going to help you with that.
Yeah, investigating some sort of an issue or something that's going on, rather than some of these talk show guys that are, you know, they're all ginned up on talk radio, as Obama, President Obama, had said that one time. But getting your meat and potatoes, getting your teeth into those meat and potatoes and being able to really present something in depth, even over one or two episodes, has got to be something that's really, really exciting. How about John Madden? Looks like you spent some time with John Madden.
Well, it's a funny thing. I had written a few syndicated radio programs. It was just a skill I had. And, in fact, I had written a daily show for Bob Costas early on. He and I both came out of St. Louis. We had known each other a little bit there, and we found ourselves in New York. He was working for NBC, and I was working for a local radio outlet, and began writing for him. I did a daily radio show for him for about 3 years, and then went off to do my own things. And Bob invited me out one evening to see him record one of his, he had a satellite radio show at that point, and I went along for the ride, and his syndicator was there, recognized me, and said, "Hey, what would you do with John Madden?" And I was fat and happy. I mean, on the radio now.
It's a family show.
I had a couple ideas, and apparently they were the best things that they had heard. So they hired me to write a pilot and eventually 13 weeks of a radio show for John, a daily radio show. My daughter, my oldest child, was 6 months old at that point.
Wow.
By the time that thing ended, by the time those 13 weeks ended, she was looking at colleges.
Hopefully looking at getting gainfully employed.
which she is now, thank goodness. But it was just one of those things that you can never expect to happen. It just never happens. But 13 weeks turned into 16 years, almost to the day.
Wow.
And it was quite a fun association.
You ever you still keep in touch with those folks from time to time?
You know, I talk to his son periodically. His sons were in college at that time. They both have gotten out, started families, and have their own businesses. And you know, John is a mile a minute guy. He's always busy on what he's busy on that minute. So it's not like he picks up the phone, but his son calls, and I'll call out there just to keep in touch. We always trade Christmas cards, and you know, it's a pleasant relationship.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, kids are grown now, thank goodness. My wife and I have gotten over that thing we were so worried about. Well, what about when the kids go off to school? How will we see ourselves as a family? You know, that lasts about a week. In fact, we're having the time of our lives. My son, the younger of the two of them, is a senior at NYU, and my daughter is working in Manhattan. So I'll go up to the city for auditions, and one or the other ends up mooching lunch off me, the way things work out. So
that's pretty much how it works. Yeah.
We have
five between us here, and one in Las Vegas, three in Michigan still, in Sterling Heights, Michigan, and one that's
here in Missouri.
Here in Missouri, yeah. It's Jason living in the blue room, which is between that and the eight cats and the one-eyed dog. We have a pretty interesting lifestyle here.
Now, you had mentioned that you did some writing and stuff, and I'm kind of like a budding writer. David pushed me last year, and I started some online college courses. And I have to say it is probably one of the funnest things I've ever done in my life. And I'm on my fifth college course, and I'm just ending it up. And I've done some really I've done it, but some really fantastic writing, according to my teachers and the other peers and everything. So I guess
Isn't it nice to discover something later in life that you really, really enjoy? I mean, it's the greatest thing in the world to me. In school, I couldn't be dragged to write. It took everything in the world to get me to sit down and write something, and discovering it later in life when I had a purpose for it, that made all the difference in the world. Is that kind of what you're finding? It's more fun now?
I've done the newsletter, our newsletter, for 25 years. So that's kind of almost medically oriented. And I never could kind of get it together in my head to actually just write stories. And so I started writing a set of stories about the cats at the house, which they all talk, and geared to children. And I had a specific reason to doing that. But then David coaxed me into getting online on these college courses. And what she did was she pulled it all together for me. She taught me how to write dialogue, how to make an outline, how to bubble, all that kind of stuff. So when I started entering my assignments, I kind of held my breath. And a couple of ones, it took David actually holding my hand, pushing the button to submit. Because I'm like, oh, my God.
That was not a pretty day.
That was
not a pretty day. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But I see the almost, you know, I'm kind of reminded that with the way the media is changing so quickly that I keep reading on Yahoo how most newspapers are going by the wayside and your books are going electronic and people are reading them on their phones and all that. But we still have a tremendous amount of written dialogue, obviously on the Internet, but we still have all that vocal spoken word that we just don't have as many orators anymore. I mean, what you do for a living just is absolutely remarkable in how you convey those thoughts across there. It's a pretty darn elite group, I mean, when you think about it.
Well, it is. And it's a business, though, that's changed a lot. Something has happened, I think, in this Internet age where we all believe we can do anything we want to do, and that's a real positive thing. On the other hand, though, there are a lot of people, and all you have to do is enter the word voiceover into Google, and you'll see dozens and dozens and dozens of groups of people who are what I call, and I don't mean this condescendingly, but they're voiceover wannabes, because mm-hmm. they have this thought that, I could do that, I can talk, I could do it from my home. I could work in my pajamas. I could, yeah. And they really don't, I think, understand what's involved in the conveyance of ideas through the spoken word. You know, anybody can read words off a page, but right. to deliver the essence of it, to get the message across to someone, and to do it in a way that isn't repertorial or official, right. but
or make somebody
fall
asleep.
Yeah,
you're almost like a professional singer, or a blues singer, or like Ella Fitzgerald, how she would just scat that music and put those inflections in Frank Sinatra. I mean, it's the instantly recognizable, or Mr. Bublé. Is that how that's pronounced? The fellow from
Michael Bublé.
Yeah. Michael there.
Yeah.
Boy, I got to train you before I let you loose on the radio.
Oh, I know. I got to work on it. My mind is running faster than my mouth, I guess, at any given time. But have you found over the years that your early radio days and the hours and hours and hours, how much
David.
Experience. How does that experience reflect back into what you do in voiceovers?
Well, it does to the positive and the negative. It's really both of them. I spent so much time on the air, hours every day, from the time I was in my late teens till I was in my, I guess, late 20s, as a regular daily on-air radio personality. And some of that it's helped me get past the quote-unquote mic fright thing. I am most at home speaking into a microphone. And in fact, the odd irony of it all is that I'm part of some work groups now in town here, and when I have to address a meeting of a work group of other bona fide professionals, people who have actual careers as opposed to phony baloney careers like I have, I find myself getting nervous. I'm never nervous, you know, on an open mic, in front of a national audience, whatever. That's what I do. But I am nervous speaking in person.
Wow. That's you know, kind of amazing there.
I know when I posted one of my classes, I told them how nervous I was doing that. I said, but put me in front of 500 people, and I don't have a problem. And one of the remarks came back and said, I can't believe that public speaking is like one of the most scariest things that people face. I found submitting my work in the written form scarier than doing radio or getting up in front of a audience. I have no problem doing that. So it's kind of strange. We all have our different little quirks, I guess.
Yeah, we all have our comfort zone. My wife was a teacher for many years. In fact, her mother was a teacher and her grandmother was a teacher, and she really loves commanding an audience. She is a scientist for the Environmental Protection Agency now, and she does a lot of public speaking. She goes to meetings and she presents papers that she's written, and she loves it because she has a good sense of the audience. She
right.
can feel them eating out of her hand.
Yes.
It scares me to death.
I can't get that feeling when I submit my work. I can't see the people. I can't see the teacher. I can't read her, only what she writes back to me. But if I'm standing in front of a class that I'm teaching, I can feel the energy. I can see it in their eyes. I know which way to go, which direction, move this up, slow this down. And so it puts me at a disadvantage when I hit that submit button and go, oh, God, here it goes.
Well, that has to be pretty much just like the difference between being a disc jockey and spinning tunes and talking on the radio versus when you send that MP3 in for that voiceover, and that's going to be on television over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's showtime. I mean, that's it. It's not going to change. It's not coming back. It's not going to be fixed. And that takes an awful lot of confidence and an awful lot of experience. And you are very good at what you do. I mean, it's just amazing to me.
Gosh, thanks. It's like anything else. We all have our comfort zone, and I guess that's mine in particular. And the nice thing, of course, is most of what I do these days is pre-recorded. So if I do manage to mess it up, I always get take two.
You can do it over.
Or take 502.
Another thing that Gary and I and Linda have in common is the fact that we have a very deep love of ethnic foods. And one of my questions that I did write down, what is exactly the best Philly cheesesteak in your opinion, being from the Philadelphia area?
this is a question. If you have listeners in Philly, this will immediately put me in trouble.
Got a war.
I'll give
you
the Philly
answer. Well, we're used to carrying lots of wars, so go right ahead.
You know, it won't surprise you that everybody's favorite Philly cheesesteak is the one that's in their neighborhood.
And of course.
I love picking the brains of people in other parts of town here because they'll always tell me, oh, you got to go to Steve's in the Northeast. You got to go to this place or that place because every neighborhood has a real standout kind of cheesesteak. But, you know, my all-time, the first place I was taken when I came to Philly is a place called D'Alessandro's on Ridge Avenue, or it's on Henry Avenue, and they've got it. They've got it all. Davey, come on into town, and I'll take you for one. I'd like nothing more.
I get to come too.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah.
Do you like your cheesesteak wet? Do you have a au jus, or is it a dry?
Oh no. You know, a cheesesteak needs cheese and steak. That's what you really need. You can get them here with sauce and or onions. Onions usually on the grill. I like the raw onions and leave the sauce on the side. If it's good meat, you want to taste it. That's the way I
feel
about
it.
Right,
David, all the time.
So, yes. It wasn't that long ago where they had it on either the Cooking Channel or one of those channels where they had all these contests with one against the other, and they were in Detroit doing chili dogs one against the other and pizza one against the other and a slice here. I was texting, we had a little email thing going when Gary was in New York the other day, and I told him to go get a slice on me. And what was that other item that you were talking about, that food item that I looked up?
This is something that my kids have dragged me to. They're called arepas, and they make them in Venezuela. They're little corn cake. It's a piece of bread that looks about the size of an English muffin. And they make them, they grill them right in front of you, and they split them open, and they fill them with spicy fillings, anything from fried plantains and chili peppers and mole sauce or roast pork. It you can get them in an infinite variety, but they are always good. They're always, always good. Well, arepa.
Now, we were in Michigan a couple weeks ago, and we went to all the places where we can't get the food down here. And my son and I were literally sitting in the car eating Arabic cheese bread. It was dripping down our arms, drinking a Verner's.
Eating better made potato chips.
Eating better made potato chips, trying to cram it all in.
Your audience know that you come from this Polish enclave background on the east side
of
Detroit?
Oh, yes, we've complained enough, trust me.
Well, I guess in the neighborhood that Gary and I grew up in was basically Polish, Italian, German, and all through high school we had, you know, there was Southern Italian food, Northern Italian food, all these different ethnic you know, we could go to Hamtramck, Michigan, which was where all the Polish food came from. You can go to Dearborn, Michigan now and have every kind of Arabic food and Lebanese food. And being here in the Kansas City area, I mean, the best steak I have ever had anywhere on the planet Earth, I've had here in Kansas City. We have the best barbecue. Don't like Texas. Don't like St. Louis. Kind of like Memphis because I like dry. I don't like a wet barbecue. We have, I mean, down here in Kansas City, your choice is critter or varmint. If they can barbecue it and get a sauce on it or smoke it, they're going to put it in front of you, and they have the best meats on earth. But you cannot find, down here it's Italian food. You know, it's not exactly quite the same as what we're used to, you know, being in it's sort of like Chicago, Detroit, New York. You've got all your different ethnic backgrounds. And here in the Midwest, it's, you know, in the middle of the country here, it's a little bit more Southern. And they've got a lot of great things here, but it's really hard to find a gyro, let me tell you.
Well, I'll tell you, I have thought many times about walking home from our junior high. Back when they had junior highs, they weren't middle schools.
Yep.
And stopping at your place on the way home, because yours was closer than mine, we'd walk past, and your mother would have out stuff that she bought that day in Hamtramck, Michigan. She'd have boxes of Krusciki's, the little angel wing cookies with powdered sugar all over them.
Yes.
And we're a couple of ninth grade guys trying to look good for girls maybe someday. And I can hear this in my mind's ear. Oh, Ma, stop trying to feed us all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, David, there's nothing in that but a little flour and sugar. It couldn't hurt you.
Yeah, I wondered. It was no wonder that I ended up at KU Med for bypass surgery when there's seven desserts on my childhood table, and if you were really, really quiet, you could sit and listen to your arteries hardening.
but that was love. So
yeah, lots of comfort, lots of comfort.
Oh, your mother was terrific. I hesitate to even ask. Is she still among us?
Oh yes, she's.
And I send her Polish cooking all the time.
Yes.
Last time we drove in, I made up a whole tray of stuffed cabbage, grumpkies, frozen.
Oh,
trucked them all the way up there. She was completely beside herself, and she ate on those things for a week.
And as a matter of fact, on tomorrow's menu, we're having guampki, pigs in a blanket, and then cook them on Sunday because they're always better on Monday after they marinate for a little while.
Boy, isn't
amazing,
that true.
Amazing. See the power of the spoken word has just made my mouth water here for the last 10 minutes.
We talk about voiceovers, and immediately we go into ethnic foods.
Well,
that was quite a segue.
Now, you touched on something that I'm curious about, and this may be an area that that you guys can help me out with a little bit. You mentioned that voiceover has to be a lot like singing, and in fact it is in one real specific way. It, the maintenance of my, if you will, my tool, keeping my voice in shape for for a lot of work, for, you know, continuing, you know, being ready for whatever comes along day after day after day. I've come up with all these routines that I do, you know, things that I won't drink coffee after my morning cup. I drink a lot of, you know, warm liquids and things like that. But I'm wondering what you guys have to offer in terms of, you know, maintaining your voice and, you know, nasal passages and all of that.
Well, as an herbalist, I can tell you that sage, S-A-G-E, sage tea, is actually to the point where professional singers will have that on standby behind the curtain just in case they lose their voice. And believe it or not, sage is absolutely wonderful for the throat and for the vocal cords. It helps clear the sinuses and keeping one's yeast down, which is the sugars and the simple carbohydrates, almost to the point where if you almost went on a fast for a couple of days before you had a big session that you knew you were going to do an all-day kind of a bender from a vocal standpoint with some sage tea, sipping that sage tea and staying away from the sugars, I'll bet you'd find that the dulcet tones of Gary Bridges would be probably a little bit more resonant.
And also hot lemon water in the early morning. That'll melt mucus and get it right out of your throat.
Ah, that's a real terrific thing. It, you know, I took no end of abuse from family and friends when I discovered the neti pot.
Oh, and, neti pots are phenomenal. Now they have the nasal pure. Well, you don't have to bend your head over for the neti pot. You can stand in the shower, and this is ergonomically correct, and you can stand straight up and do this.
Wow.
This is very good, Gary.
So, and
look at this.
Of course, since you're in the shower, the water shooting out your other nostril doesn't bother anybody.
No, it doesn't.
No, and it's very entertaining to the pets.
Yes. Ours line up. We have a glass shower. Ours line up and watch mom go, you know, do the while it's all coming out.
Yeah, something you just don't want to get yourself on YouTube doing, please.
Yes.
When it comes out your ears, that's when you have to worry, I think.
Yes, yes.
Just a couple times, you know, but that's optional.
Four exits, no waiting. Yes. If somebody had an interest in a career in voiceovers and really wanted to do it professionally
and didn't want to be a wannabe
is that something that is actually offered in school or college, or would it be more of a broadcasting career? What do you think?
It is, you know, it's offered to some degree in school, but what I would say would aid a person most who wanted to get into this would be acting classes. What I do now has much more to do with acting than it does with announcing. You know, announcing is sort of the root skill of reading words off a page, speaking clearly, having good, you know, diction, enunciation, and all of that. But I think to do this at a high enough level that you can really make a living at it, that you can be a voice in demand, requires you to be able to put your head into a different space and deliver the kind of voice that that the client is looking for, the voice that adequately delivers the message that the client is trying to get across. It's easy for me to be the mid-level Midwestern guy that I am, but then I get asked to do all sorts of things. I get asked to do some rather pointed political commercials sometimes, where it doesn't come to me so easy to be nasty, to be forceful, to be, you know, real pointed with my words. But if that's what the script demands and that's what the client is looking for, you're just not going to get those jobs unless you can do it. It really requires reorienting where I'm at, what I'm thinking about, you know, conjuring up some some sympathy for the line that's being delivered, and doing that. I think acting is much more appropriate than, say, the radio courses or the, you know, announcing courses that you find in some places.
Yeah, not to say that's not a bad thing to do. That'll help you with the technical aspect, I suppose, of being able to speak into a microphone and get past that fright. But a lot of it is all head work. It's got, I mean, you must have just come off of a political bender, and having so many different thoughts, words, and deeds that you need to convey. You've got a really, it's more acting than it is anything else. Wow, that's amazing. I hadn't thought of that.
Do you get asked by both parties, or do you run with one party more? Or?
Well, it's funny. I did both parties consistently for many years, and sort of, again, reaching a certain level of the business, the top clients that I wanted to work with became very insistent, no, we hire people who only work with our party.
Wow.
It saves them having egg on the face later when they've just spent money for a big ad buy that's pushing some issue they want, and then suddenly they hear the same announcer talking out of the other side of his mouth.
Pushing that one. You're just a pushy guy, aren't you, Gary?
Well, given half a chance, yes. Yeah. Got those college
bills.
Well,
that's
to
what
pay,
they say about, you know, people from Detroit. You can take the person out of Detroit, but you can't take Detroit out of the person.
You know,
but
we're
I don't
all
know
nice
if
guys.
You were the when you left, did you turn the light out? Because I can't remember if we turned the light out.
Well, I'll tell you, there've been sadly fewer and fewer reasons to go back to our old hometown.
You know how they say you never can go back home. Well, we found that about a month ago when we went to Michigan to take care of a few things. Even my son said, wow, this does not even feel like home anymore. I said, it's not, darling. It's just not.
Yeah, the automotive has been so devastated with the economy, and most of the city is pretty much shut down at about 6 o'clock. You don't have quite the nightlife that that at least we were used to. We were watching a little television last night, and I saw Smokey Robinson. I remember seeing him at the Rooster Tail. And when downtown Detroit used to be just a hustling and a bustling with all the Motown sounds and all the music and all the great music that Motown put out, and then all the rock and roll and the Amboy Dukes and Bob Seger. I remember seeing Bob Seger at 9 Mile and Mac at the Crow's Nest. And, Billy Lee and the Rivieras, which was Mitch Ryder at the Northtown Bowling Alley at 7 Mile and Van Dyke. And that's an awful lot of history that has gone by the wayside. Now it's just pretty much all Lady Gaga.
Well, I don't know about that. Taste being what it is. Yeah, you're bringing it all back. You mentioned the Rooster Tail. One of my last great escapades in Detroit, I had got my first job working on a radio station in Detroit, an FM station, working overnights. And I didn't realize why they asked me to be the music director also. It was not like it paid any extra money. It would just got me to file all those records that kept piling up. And I was invited to a party at the Rooster Tail for a band that was threatening to break out. It was a band with a girl's name, Alice Cooper.
Wow.
Oh,
holy
wow.
Cow. I went.
Boy, are we dating ourselves.
Yes. I went, and I was bold enough to have a Stroh's beer, open bar, of course, Stroh's beer, and it was all of 2 miles down from the radio station, so I had that, and I met Alice Cooper. Turned out it was a guy. Who knew? And
who knew?
went back and did my show at midnight, and don't you know, about 3 a.m, that beer started making my eyes so droopy. And I could barely sit on the high chair, the stool that we sat on in front of the microphone. So I'd start the record, and I'd walk to the back of the studio and flop on the couch. And
did we have some dead air time, Gary?
Oh, yes,
that's a big no-no in radio.
I could have been fired so quickly. Had anyone been listening to that station, I would have been fired so quickly. As it turned out, just before I got off that morning, I went through the whole heart-stopping, oh, my God, there's dead air. What am I going to do? And I started up another record and, pretended like nothing ever happened. And about 5:45, I was just getting ready to get off, and one of my regular callers, who was a night watchman at a factory down Jefferson Avenue somewhere, used to call me every night like clockwork, hey, what happened? I didn't hear anything in the middle. I don't know what you're talking about.
Nope.
I don't have an idea. Must have been, yeah, right, exactly.
I know once we got down here, we were down here for a few years, and I was really missing Michigan, and that was just about the time 8 Mile came out with Eminem. So we all went to the show, and they just about threw me out of the show because I'm going, oh, there's Woodward. Oh, there's 6 Mile. I know that play. People are like, Jay's like, Mom, please. People are starting to point at you. I know that trailer park.
Well, you really don't know that people understand Detroit. I sat some years back. I was in Arkivika, Sweden, which was 250 miles from the Arctic Circle. I was at a plant, the home plant for a company that I was working for, and the people at the guys were asking me if I knew about the Woodward Crawl. They actually knew about the muscle cars of Detroit. They took me under the plant in an old bomb shelter from World War II, and I saw nothing but Mustangs and Camaros that these guys have been working on for years and years and years, and it was the great equalizer. Detroit muscle cars are the great equalizer for, I guess, anybody over the age of 40. It just amazes me.
Holy cow.
Yep.
That's
called
remarkable.
Me. He said, Linda, you're not going to believe this. All I wanted to do is talk about Woodward. Woodward Avenue. I'm like, they know about Woodward?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. So.
It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Well, Gary, we can't thank you enough for at least taking some time out of your day today and spending it with us. Absolutely phenomenal. I mean,
it's been a lot of fun.
This is our first time not having a soundboard man within reach. Doing it all different. So we were a little nervous when we started because in Michigan we were used to the headphones and the mics and reaching out and touching the sound guy and everything else, and now we've got to do it with little beeps on the phone. And
but it's we're more than pleased with BBS Radio, and we had some technical difficulties a little earlier today where the website actually went down, and it got a little scary there. We thought we weren't going to be able to do our show, but If anybody is interested in learning a little bit more about Gary and some of his demos and stuff, it's winningsounds.com is Gary's website, and we are more than pleased. And every time anybody listens to anything on the cable TVs now, they're going to, when they hear that voice, they're going to know exactly who it is.
Ooh.
Yes.
I know.
See, now you're a household name.
And actually,
now
if you go
I'm
to
nervous.
Our...
I wasn't nervous before.
If you go to our webpage on bbsradio.com, your picture is actually up there, too. So now they've got voice with a picture and somewhere in the greater Philadelphia area. So much for witness protection. I guess the marshals will have to move you again.
Oh, boy. I thought I'd gotten away clean. And I've been sitting here looking at your picture on the BBS website also this whole time. So, gosh, you look so cute.
Yes, we're just such a cute couple. Yes, but there's a lot more gray hair now. But
Not that much. Just a tad here.
Well, just me. Just me.
Just him.
Yeah, yes.
I'm never aging.
It's been a lot of fun, guys.
Yeah, it's those special herbs. It's those magic bullets that we take and those magic beans.
Is that legal there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Have they made those special herbs legal there?
Have to do is just go over to Kansas. Everything's legal in Kansas.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because all
thank
you got to
so
do is click your heels and you're in Oz. So.
Yeah. Tons of fun. Well, thank you very much, Gary. We appreciate your spending some time with us today, and we look forward to hearing you on the on all the different radio and TV shows that you may do in the future.
And guess what, Gary?
And good luck with the show. What's that?
Guess what, Gary?
What, Lizzie?
You got a big box of homemade treats coming.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is this going to ruin my diet before Christmas?
Yes. Yes. I have to satisfy my gourmet cooking.
You know, sure.
Well,
you have to make sure that you don't stay too much on the thin side there. We have to.
I'm going to totally bring back your childhood, Gary.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's another $250,000 worth of therapy out the window.
I was going to say, my therapist and I have worked so hard to get past all of that. Thanks,
yeah,
Lynn.
Oh,
that,
well, take him and share him with her or him, and, you know, everything will be all right.
Especially that episode back in the fifth grade that she says you'll get past one of these days.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. You weren't supposed to bring that up.
I know.
Well, one of these days, very soon, we're coming to Philly, and we're going to Rhode Island or someplace, because that's where Rhode Island, Narragansett, Rhode Island, is where I had my very first lobster, right off the boat.
Ooh.
Yes.
Lobster.
I keep telling David that. We got to go back there, because you haven't had lobster until you had it right off the boat into the pot.
That is the truth.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, guys, so, good luck with the show.
Okay,
thank you very much, Gary.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have had an absolute wonderful time here today. We really appreciate you listening in. We have some pretty exciting shows that we're looking forward to presenting. Some of it will be a little on the therapeutic side, talking a little bit about alternative health and chiropractic and acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine and gravity flow colon therapy and detoxing. And
the lines are always open for questions. Anytime you have a question, just call in, and we will be more than happy to answer it.
And we're kind of looking forward to a little later in the year. We're working on, hopefully, the Eat Right for Your Blood Type. Dr. Diadamo, we understand that from time to time he does do a radio show, so we're kind of looking at that as future plans, and possibly some folks from Blue Poppy and from Health Concerns, some of the professional herbal companies that I do business with. There's an awful lot of information out there, and it's not us against the MDs, because my line has always been, if I've got a torn aortic valve, I want a thoracic surgeon, the cast and crew of ER and Chicago Hope in a life flight helicopter. Don't call my chiropractor. But when it comes to your health and all the choices that you do have along the way, we always want to make sure that you understand all your viable options. How about that, Lynn? I got it all jammed into one sentence there.
It's about time.
It's a little.
I've been trying to work with him all morning.
Yes, I know. But we appreciate your time, and we thank you very much. We also are offering advertising. If you'd like to advertise on our radio show.
Since it streams through the computers, it's all over the world. So no matter where you live, your people can hear your advertising. Or you can do what some people have already done and just support us in bringing the show to you.
Yep. So we have two websites. One is www.viableoptions.com. And then there's www.choicesalongtheway.com. So we have two websites. ChoicesAlongTheWay.com is obviously our radio show website. Then our business is ViableOptions.com. You can contact us there through email, which is ViableOptions@sbcglobal.net. Or you can call the office, which is area code 816-283-0685.
Join us on the 18th for Karen Kipp, and she is going to show you or speak to you about how you can detox even though you're going through the holidays.
Yeah.
With all the heavy foods, statistically, not many people know this, but statistically, between Christmas and New Year's, more people lose their gallbladders than at any other time of the year. And the main reason being is all this heavy food that we start taking in at the beginning of the holiday season, which now starts at Halloween, with the candies and then Thanksgiving, the cream cheeses, the sour creams, the sausages, all that. So by the time Christmas arrives, we're feeling pretty stuffed, and our gallbladders usually go south. So Karen's going to give us some very, very outstanding ideas on how to juice. Keep open those channels up and keep this stuff flowing. I've never been a juicer until I met Karen, and she showed me how to put the proper vegetables together and the proper fruits together to make really great juices and the raw foods. And she's just a remarkable woman that knows how to do this.
And her website is poweryourjourney.com. Well, Seth, it sounds like we're just about ready to wrap it up at 3:59 p.m. there, and if we could just go right into our outgoing music. We thank everybody for listening today. God bless you. God bless your families and friends, relatives and acquaintances, and everybody that you know.
And we'll see you. We'll talk to you on the 18th at 3 o'clock.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye now.
To steal the power.